You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, you're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. It is your girl, Brandy Grayson, and my co-host, April Kageya. Okay, Ms. Kageya, we haven't seen you in 20 years.
I know, it's been a minute. I'm back.
I guess, acting funny, and she don't even respond to the text. Like, are you coming?
First
she just remains silent.
No, let's don't do me like that, because I did say that I wasn't going to be here for a minute. I did respond. Mm-hmm. Did I not?
I don't recall any of that.
I will pull up the receipts. Okay. But okay.
All right. All right. Well, we're going to just send a shout out to Cousin Clyde, who said he was on his way and never showed up again. Another no call, no show on Clyde. And if you're familiar with the Black Conversion Show, April Kageya and Cousin Clyde are our two main co-hosts, right? And sometimes they show up for their job and sometimes they don't, you know? So I'm just happy that I have April with me today, because I actually thought I was going to be alone. And thank God she did show, because Clyde was like, I'm on my way,
and she didn't think I was gonna be here, and then she walked in, and what she said, she's like, I almost fell out.
I did.
I wasn't supposed to be here, and here I am.
I thought I saw a ghost.
It's a good thing your couch was behind you.
Exactly. Right. She done stumbled in the room because she saw me and was like, wait, what are you doing here?
Okay.
Surprise.
Here I am.
I didn't say I was coming, and I just popped up.
You did not. Thank you guys for listening to the Black Conversion Show. We are super excited to be here this morning. We have so much stuff to talk about and catch up on. But as always, I love to start with just a check-in with the host and our co-host. How are you? What you been up to? So I'm going to start with you, April, because Cousin Clyde is nowhere to be found. So how are you today? And what has been up with you?
Oh, Lord. I almost cussed, but I held back, Luke. I held back.
Luke's proud of you.
he's like, thank Jesus. I'm okay. It's been a struggle, but I'm doing all right. I am...
What you struggling with?
Life.
What's up with life?
A lot. Things I can't talk about on air.
You don't want to get vulnerable?
Not that I don't want to get vulnerable, but there are some... legality things happening.
Oh, okay. None of y'all business.
No, just I can't, you know.
I'm just kidding. I know.
Just, you know.
She about to sue somebody. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Yes, okay.
Actually. Well, never mind.
That's
okay.
Actually the case. Literally the case.
Okay, well, we're not going to ask any further questions about that.
So I cannot get into that.
Okay.
But yeah, it's been a struggle. But last weekend, actually, I had a good time in Chicago.
Good.
One of my best friends is getting married in Jamaica.
Yay.
In a couple of weeks.
You so going to Jamaica?
I am going to Jamaica.
Yay,
at the end of the
exciting.
Month. So we had a bachelorette party in Chicago, so that was a lot of fun. Yeah, so I'm getting over a cold, so that kind of sucks. But I'm loving this unseasonably warm weather October's bringing us. I'm hoping, though, that, you know, every year I feel like in Wisconsin, Halloween is freezing.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping this year's going to be different, but it's probably not.
It's probably
not. You know
because
how Wisconsin
soon,
does.
Yeah, it probably won't.
The kids be bundled up and, you know what I'm saying, with their coats and stuff. So, but, yeah. You know, hopefully it'll be different this year.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, so, that's
all right.
Good.
Well, how are you doing?
Sounds like you need to go to therapy, okay? Have you signed up?
So I did? Oh, no. I said I do need to go. Oh.
I was about to celebrate like a
so
mother.
Look, so I signed up for Anesis about 2 years ago when I was going through my divorce.
Uh-huh.
I did start going to therapy, and then I was like, this is hard, so I stopped.
Okay, so...
I do need to go back, though.
Yeah, but that's the same conversation we had the last time you was here 6 months ago.
And I'm out. No, I'm just kidding. Bye, Luke. No,
I'm just kidding. Nice seeing y'all.
This is why I don't come to this show.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding.
Right, because I'm always trying to tell people what to do.
Right.
That is the theme around Madison in the Dane County area. And the theme is Brandy Grayson, who the does she think she
and
is?
And then when I try to tell you thing, I don't, why do people, what did you say to me last time?
What
I don't like that you hold me accountable.
But at least I could be honest.
Yeah, that, no, I know. I
and
know,
I'm
I know.
Actually going to do whatever you suggest if it's real, too. I might say it, I don't like it. But I also respect it because that's what friends do.
Exactly.
Right? Just hold the mirror.
Yep.
And I was like, you was right. Did I not say you were right?
You did.
And let's just be clear what she's referring to. So she said that I need to keep my tail off of Facebook when I get upset with white people and white. She didn't say white people. That's my translation because April doesn't speak like that. But my translation is when you get peed off at white people, institutions, and situations, keep your blah, blah, blah off of Facebook. Keep your opinions to yourself.
Specifically off of Facebook Live.
Yes, and stay silent because it just adds fire to the flame. And I was like, whatever, you know, don't hold me accountable for me calling somebody a Karen and their feelings getting hurt. And she's like, stop it. And I said, you're right. I'm going to work on that. And I'm going to work on not going to Facebook. So thank you, friend, for holding me accountable because that's what accountability looks like. And speaking of accountability, and again, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX. You're listening to Brandi Grayson and my beautiful co-host,
April Kigaya.
Yeah, and we're just starting off the morning, checking in with each other. And for we're two Black women in leadership positions, or you know, in the community, doing community work. April is on Dane County Board of Supervisors. What district you represent?
District 15, west side of Madison, west side of Middleton. And I'm the second vice chair of the board.
Oh, I don't know what that was. I don't. Maybe that was the magical sound of the leprechaun. Ooh. I don't know. It's not even Irish season. I don't even. That's March. But anyway, right. Hey, but that sounded cool. Okay. All right now. So anyway,
there it goes
you
again.
Know what? Is it my computer that's sitting here?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either. But we having sounds here. Maybe it's the phone. I don't know. Maybe it's your notifications. But anyway, we're two Black women doing work in the Dane County area. And we like to start off with just checking in how we're doing, what's going on. And for me, the last couple of weeks have been a hoot. A hootie hoot, 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 hoot.
Hoot a
hoot. Hoot, hoot, hoot. That's my name for the BBS. BBS.
Wait, what's
BDS?
BS.
Oh, BS. Wait, BB. I'm going to call it BBS, the bull.
Got you. Okay.
So I've had a hoot of a week. It's been interesting, but I also had some great connections and networking. Shout out to WARS, which is an organization out of Sturgeon. I'm actually not sure where they're from, but it's Sturgeon Bay or the Fox Valley area. They held a conference this Monday and Tuesday around homeless youth and how we can do better in creating policy and legislation to advocate for homeless youth and identifying what's needed across Wisconsin. Urban Triage presented on our new cultural interstate collective. Mm. And we're going to actually change the name to Black Interstate Collective because it's culturally could, you know, be a little misleading because this is our collective is predominantly Black-led. It is Black-led. So the collective is a group of 11 organizations, all Black-led nonprofits across Wisconsin who are doing youth and housing work throughout Wisconsin. And we have out of the 11 organizations, we have four. April, you have to stop moving. You know the mic is picking you up. She's trying. You know what? This is why.
Okay.
Look at Luke's face. Do you not see the producer's face?
I'm sorry. Okay. One more time.
You would think we were not recording right now or not live. Okay. It's cool.
Let me just.
Oh, my goodness. Just stay still and wait to break.
I'm on TikTok.
Okay. Stay still.
I'm live on TikTok, so I'm trying
this
to like
is a hot
catch
mess.
Both of us. Okay, my bad.
This is what happens. Till break. This is what happens when you're not around for 6 months and you forget proper
it's
radio.
It's actually been like 3 weeks, but okay.
Etiquette. Well,
I digress.
All right.
Continue your story.
Back to what we were saying. So I had a summit, did a presentation at a conference around our collective. I'm super excited about it. It's 11 Black organizations, four which are core orgs, the four people that's going to do or orgs that's going to do the work. We have Ubuntu out of Milwaukee. They'll do our evaluation and research, evaluating our work, evaluating you know, our efforts and the stuff that our deliverables. And then we have People of Progression out of Fox Valley. And then we have We All Rise out of Green Bay, and then you have Urban Triage out of Madison, and then we have about another eight or so orgs throughout Wisconsin that's Black that'll be leading this work. And the objective of our work is to offer like a document, a manual, something that says at the end, hey HUD, everybody else, this is how you can improve the coordinated entry system for Black and LGBTQ and vulnerable populations. So it's a very exciting work that we're about to partake in. So I'm excited about that. I met a lot of people during that time and made some really strong connections. So I'm excited about that. But what I'm not excited about is how people keep putting Urban Triage, which, by the way, I'm the CEO and founder of Urban Triage out of Madison and Dane County. I'm a little perturbed, to say the least, that we keep having conversations, or folks keep having conversations, that implies or insert or says that Urban Triage has mismanaged funds, and it's just not true. I just want y'all to know, as a Black-led organization, if we ever mismanage anything, we are out of there. They're gonna, I mean, we're gonna be on the news. You're gonna see us on the paper. You're gonna say, Brandi Grayson, look what she did. That's not what occurred. What occurred is a certain journalist who happened to be a white lady who was unfamiliar with how to do her job appropriately, wrote an article and basically said that, hey, this organization ran out of housing funds and then overspent it by $100,000, and the contract is a year long. If anybody who does nonprofit work, you understand that when you have a set amount of money, you spend it until it's gone. And we spent it and it was gone. And it was gone in about 3 or 4 months of us having the funds. It's $300,000. And then, because in accounting for nonprofits, we're always behind a month or two with our financial statements, because we have about 1,000 transactions that we have to allocate, classify, and then expense and report on. And then we're in the midst of transitioning into a new system, which actually pushed us back by 2 months. And by being pushed back by 2 months, we just kept spending. Now, and I knew we were coming close. And I said to people, we probably need to stop accepting applications. But then I was like, no, it's cool, because we have unrestricted dollars from Roots and Wings, which is our amazing partner in our work. Shout out to Roots and Wings Foundation. They really be showing up for Urban Triage. I really love y'all to death, okay? Now, that's one white institution that knows what they are doing and knows how to do the work in collaboration and in partnership. So shout out to y'all, okay? And again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show. So that some of the funds that they give us were automatically, I guess they allocated to do this work and to support around rental assistance.
So they were going to kind of feed into the funds that were kind of overspent, so to speak.
Yeah, it was already determined prior to, okay. Like when we do our budgets, we already determine this money's going to go here, this money's going to do that. Mm-hmm. So they give us $200,000 a year. So we had already said that we're going to take $100,000 of that money and increase our rental support and security deposits. So we end up spending like $420,000 on rental assistance and security deposits when the contract we had with for quick move-in funds with Dane County Human Services was only $317,000. So we didn't mismanage funds. The funds went where they were supposed to go. We have always had clean audits. We've never had an issue with our audit. I think one thing that we had on our audit was when we first started, we didn't have a protocol for RFPs for federal contracts or something. Mm-hmm. We didn't know we had to have procurement policy, I think. So we were, that's in our audit, but there's nothing else that's in our audit. And then we had to do a corrective action that said we're going to hire a CPA to make sure that we have all our policies in order. And that's what that was about. So my week has been weird, and we'll talk about it a little bit more when we talk about local news, when we discuss the Dane County exec campaign and the folks that are running and some forums that took place at MATC, which was captured by Channel 3 News. And I'm going to, you guys got to hear this, but y'all, okay, anyway. So you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson and
April Kigaya.
Stay tuned. We got a lot of more juice.
I'm so deep in my bag like a grandma with a peppermint.
All right, we are back on 92.7 FM WMDX on the Black Conversion Show. Welcome back. Y'all, as you know, when you have co-hosts who miss out for weeks and then come back, they just forget how this works. So April is still making lots of noise in the background.
But we weren't on air yet. Why are you still calling me out?
And guess who happened to walk in the door while we were on a quick commercial sponsor break?
I was talking to the boss. They had put me to the side, and I had to like get some things together.
Yes, he was being reprimanded.
It's Cousin Clyde. It's Cousin Clyde.
Hey, everyone.
So welcome Cousin Clyde to the show. He's about an hour late, but it's cool. It's cool. Dealing with people known as Black, you just have to learn how to flex and be present.
That's
okay.
True.
Just
gotta be present. Thank you for flexing with
me. You're so welcome. So prior to the break, we're just discussing like how we're doing in our check-in. I reviewed some trauma and drama around people keep putting my name in their mouth and my. But today I ain't gonna go there because April told me to chill out.
I like that. I like that. I agree.
Chill out, B. Okay, so anyway, I would appreciate you guys, though, the listeners, to check out my blog, my op-ed published on Madison 365 website. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just kind of break down some of my vulnerability, you know, a little tea, but not too much tea, because I'm learning.
I didn't think it was tea at all.
You don't think it was tea at all? It was just facts, right?
That's and what beautiful. I thought.
Absolutely.
Oh, you finally read it?
I did.
Because first of all, when you look, because this is when Clyde was, and we was in the chat, and he was like, well, sis, you ain't got to explain yourself. But then I saw him, I said, you didn't read it, did you?
It was beautiful.
He
it was.
Like, no.
Because they picking on my sister and I don't like that. But
it's all good.
It don't get no more airtime.
It's all good. You guys know we always like to start with love, because love is a revolutionary act for people known as Black. Black so we love. Always want to bring that into the forefront and really look at how other people are perceiving masculine, feminine energy, male, female, them, they, and how they roll in relationships and shit, just opinions. So I'm actually going to have you play the clip. The first clip, I think. I can't remember. But play either clip, Luke, our producer. And then I'm going to ask my beautiful co-host for their feedback based on the clip. Go ahead, Luke.
Okay. If you want a woman that you admire, that you look up to, you have to be prepared to be uncomfortable. I'm going to say it one more time. If you want a woman that you can look up to, you have to be prepared to be uncomfortable. Because as you're looking up to a woman that you admire, society is going to try to pressure you to bring her down so you can look at her eye level. And when you bring her down, at this point, you're going to minimize, you're going to downplay, you're going to suffocate the gifts, the talents, and the abilities on the inside of her when God brought her into your life for you to look up, for her to sharpen you, and for you to start coming up in your maturity, for you to start coming up in your identity. If you don't have the proper identity of a man and you don't know who you are, as you're looking up, you're going to get uncomfortable. Then you're going to try to start bringing her down. Mm-hmm. And if you start trying to bring her down, she cannot be to you who God intended for her to be to you in order to sharpen you, to reposition you, to put you in a place that accelerates your life simply because you're not comfortable looking like this.
Looking up.
People are not even going to be able to see you looking like up. This. Mm-hmm. You just got to know I look like this and I admire up here because watch this. This is not downplaying me. This is uplifting
Amen.
To
you
the men.
You can go ahead and stop, Luke. Thank you so much. So the idea and what he's just saying, again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show. We're talking about relationships and love and just reviewing someone's perspective. And this Black man is basically saying, hey, when you desire women who you admire or you look up to, then we often as men get uncomfortable. So then we try to take the woman and bring her down to our level because we feel emasculated or, emasculated or whatever, or intimidated by her status or how she's moving in the world. And really what God has done is placed her in your life so that she can elevate you and bring you up to the level. But if you're not recognizing that and you stay with breaking her down, then she can't do for you what God has intended her to do. That's my summary. What's y'all thoughts?
I agree. Yeah. Like, I think sometimes in relationships, we think that it's always like cohesive and we're both on the same page, but we do sometimes get to places where we envy each other, right? Mm-hmm, we're jealous of each other, and we have to learn how to check ourselves right in that moment, right? Like like Beyonce said, you know, Jay-Z go in and talk about the deal. She comes in and seals
the deal. Amen.
People aren't thinking about their relationships as partnerships no more. Right. They're thinking about it as you are
competition.
You, I am me, and we're trying to figure this out. Mm-hmm. So,
I agree, too. And I think a lot of it stems from intimidation. Right? Instead of why am I intimidating you? Like, is it I'm intimidating you or are you intimidated?
And I think it's the roles we always talk about, the masculine and the feminine energy, and living in a patriarchal society where misogyny is real, where the hate of women is real, and the need to make women submit is real. And we're confused around what submission actually means. And again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM, WMDX, with your girl Brandi Grayson and my co-host
April Kigeya.
And
your favorite cousin Clyde.
Yeah, so as always, we're talking about relationships, and we just listened to this clip, so thank you for tuning in. But what's most important, I think, is that we develop an understanding with inside our relationships where we can honor the strengths of each other.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter if it's masculine or feminine strengths or characteristics, but let's honor it and allow those strengths to help each other grow.
And it shouldn't be a competition, right? We should be growing together, growing with each other and looking at each other's faults and saying, okay, let me help you with yours. You help me with mine.
And a lot of times I think in dating, what I see is that when the masculine energy has this, like, envy spirit towards the feminine energy, we sometimes got to remind them, like, who hurt you, right? Like, do you hate your mom? Or do you have a hate for your sister? Like, where is it that you learn females are your competitors?
Like, well, and they just haven't figured out who they are in the world.
Yeah.
So, like a lot of folks, when you have figured out some stuff for yourself, by your very presence, you bring out what they're not, right? And then it feels like you're the one who's making them feel that way. You're making me feel less. I am not.
Yeah. Why am I making you feel that way?
You're making yourself feel less because you look at me and you're like, oh, she's doing this. She has that. She could do this. Everybody. And sometimes even in the arguments, you could hear men and women who are competitive or feel some kind of way about their partner say, well, you the one who have people you can call, or you the one who has this. You have that. I don't have that. And that in itself is comparison and competition. We have this. We have that. Because if I have resources in a network and you and they and I could use it for you, I will. You know what I mean? So it's not it's a we. Luke, real quick, let's play the other clip. And I think it's like a minute long because I want to play it and I want us to come back from break and I want to hear y'all feedback real quick.
Okay.
And this is about men.
Why straight men are in love with other straight men? This is really going to be an uncomfortable conversation. So just buckle up. Men are also living for male validation. I don't know how else to say it. A man grows up in his life, either with a father that he's trying to prove right or without a father that he's trying to prove wrong. What do I mean by that? A man will either have a father in his life that he wants to make proud, or if he grows up without a father in his life, he wants to prove to his father that didn't choose to be in his life that he made the wrong choice. Either way, they spend their entire lives trying to gain the acceptance of one man. But that desire to be accepted doesn't just stop at their father. It extends to their brothers. It extends to their male friends. Because they've been programmed that a man being proud of you is the best feeling you can have from a youngin, they now continue on in their lives seeking that same validation of making a man
happy.
Proud.
And that's so true.
Have you ever noticed?
Thank you guys for tuning in. We're going to be back. I want to hear you guys' response to this because I often find that men are choosing their friends over their partners. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX. This is Brandi Grayson, and we'll be back in a jiff.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, we are back on 92.7 FM on the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson and my co-host
April Kigea.
And
your favorite cousin Clyde.
All right, prior to break, we had a little clip that we played. And basically with this song, we should just tell them to go to the left. But anyway, we're gonna stay focused here. So the clip was just the person who was speaking was saying that they believe that men have a deep desire to satisfy and get men approval from other men starting from childhood. And they're taught their whole life that one of their objectives is to get approval from other men. And you know that because you'd be like, ooh, you can see boys and men interact like, oh, look at her, go get her, or oh, good job, boy. Did you hit that? Oh, you know, you did that, or look how clean you is. Okay, dude, okay, pimp. Oh, I see you in your ride. I see you with your watch. You know, you would think that women complimented each other more than men, but men actually be like, oh, I see you. Look at your shoes. Look at you, player. So there's this deep desire for satisfying the need for male approval. And approval, and really is based on that lost or yearning. But anyway, let me stop talking. What are y'all thoughts based on what we just heard? You start.
And I didn't even think about that until I heard the clip, and they referred it to men wanting their father's approval.
Yes.
Like, it didn't click for me until I heard that. And then until I heard you just say, Brandi, about, like, them talking about their boys out in the street, whatever, because I always thought it was women. Because like, ooh, look at you. Okay, you, where you going? Right. Where you, you know, right. I thought it was us doing it.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, damn, it is dudes. And then when you had said Clyde off air about dudes always like they choose their boys over their females, I was like, damn, it their that partners. Is over their partners.
Yep.
It is really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for me growing up, I had an older brother, older brother who was 4 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And at a young age, I noticed right away that him and my father clicked really good. Mm-hmm. And for me, I just like gracefully bowed out of that. Like mm-hmm. I wasn't no more looking for validation from my father because I just let my brother have it. Right. Mm-hmm. And I like just attached to my mom. So like, I don't know. It was easy for me to be like, I don't care what daddy says. Shoot. Well, like, you can have that.
I don't want to ask this. It might sound inappropriate, but you think it's because you're queer?
I think so. Yeah. I think my dad recognized like he's a little feminine and he likes these things and he'll be better off over here than with me. And, you know, again, I knew myself Lord. At that time and I was just like, knock yourselves out. But as we get older, I think as I watch men develop relationships with each other mm-hmm. and sometimes like they're best friends, they dressing mm-hmm. alike, mm-hmm. they taking vacations without their girlfriends and stuff. I'm always like, this look a little weird. But I think it comes from a place of like, just like your homegirl, when you guys have things in common and you're like, I'm just at peace with you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes, you know, a lot of fellas and their girls are always kind of, like, they get to that season where they're just button heads all day long. Yeah. And their guy friends or just females with their female friends are just like, I'm at peace with you.
Emotional safety?
That brings up a good point, though, Brandon. Do you think it is based on sexuality, though?
I don't think it's sexuality. Yeah. Because I think we confuse it with sexuality.
Yeah,
when you
we
just
do.
Asked him, though, do you think it's because you're queer? Like, does it matter if, like, do queer guys
No, I was referring to his relationship with his dad.
Right, right, right.
Like, how his dad, him and his brother was more close, and then mm-hmm. he kind of attached to his mom. And I asked him, would you think that was because you're queer? Because men, especially patriarchal, mm-hmm. conservative, traditional male energy, are uncomfortable with queer sons.
Yeah.
Right? So they tend to like be a little standoffish or not. Even if they accept you, they just don't know how.
And my dad was very conservative.
So
it
that's
still
what,
is.
That's what I meant by that. But not mm-hmm. the dynamic of men needing validation from other men. I don't think that's a gender thing or mm-hmm. sexual identity. But the dynamics between males and their fathers, I think that could play a huge role, if that makes sense.
So I wonder, though, being a queer male, mm-hmm. is the dynamic the same with queer males in terms of dude, da-da-da, like,
yeah.
you look cool, you know what I mean? Like, the same, like, females, they'd be like, okay, sis, I see you.
I think it,
are men the queer men the same?
Yeah, so I think with us, I think it's just attracted to, you know, I'm feminine. I'm a feminine person, mm-hmm. so I'm attracted to feminine people when mm-hmm. it comes down to friendships. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to masculine men, I tend to tone down. Friendships, right? Mm-hmm. And I tend to turn them around too. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to be friends with you, right?
Do you tend to be less feminine too in those relationships?
No. Okay. Well, at my big old age now, I'm who I am, right?
Right.
I've just gotten to a place where, like, I talk to my straight friends about dating men or about, mm-hmm. like, you know, we be you know how they joke and be like, oh, mm-hmm. you hit her? I be like, oh, you know, I cracked him. And they
that's what you call it, crack?
Yes, I'm like that.
You cracked them? Does that mean you broke his virginity?
No.
Broke his back?
That just means, that means.
Or something else?
No. That means we fact.
You
wait, what?
We fact.
Fact? What
is
that?
So
ask TikTok.
This is a perfect example. You're listening to Black Conversion Show, y'all, on 92.7 FM.
Can somebody put that in the comments?
And April is going to continue to talk because she has been gone for a long time. So she's forgotten that when one person's talking, you don't talk in the background. But it's okay, April.
It's okay.
It's okay. So this is a perfect example, though, about how important it is for us to be around people and in conversation for different backgrounds and different identities. Because sometimes we get it twisted that people known as Black is monolithic and that mm-hmm. we get all the slang or the words too. Mm-hmm. Because everything you just said, I'm like, huh? What?
Yeah.
But when you're in community with people outside of your regular environment, then you get to know people on a level of humanity and you get to know their language.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that was an important distinction in that conversation.
Even though we're all Black, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We sometimes think it's like, oh, different cultures. It's even within our own culture.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That was good. So I do have a question. Do you think one thing that I've heard happen on TikTok and social media is that men actually are have emotional relationships on a deeper level with other men than they do with the women that they're with.
I believe
do
that.
Do you think that's true?
Yes, I just got...
Yeah, look at April face.
Yeah, so I just got out of something like that with a Scorpio. Mm-hmm. We never did anything sexually, never talked about anything sexually, but our bond was so tight that it started to turn into like... I'm pushing my girlfriend to the side to be with you more, you know?
Why?
I honestly think it was emotional. Like, you make me feel
safe,
good. Mm-hmm. You know, we can have conversations.
You relate.
Yeah, and, you know, someone else called it love bombing. Like, you guys are love bombing each other.
That's not love bombing.
Yeah. And
that's not love bombing. No, you go ahead.
But then if you see, for me, I'm an emotional person, and then emotional leads to sexual. Yeah. Okay. If it was an emotional, how did it not lead to sexual?
It was about to. That's why he pushed him away.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's it.
That was that was my trend.
No. Okay. But that's what I was saying, where there's been moments where I've been like, we just can't be just friends no more.
So that's why I think it's a thin line between how we identify sexual identity and sexuality. Because one thing that patriarchy has taught everybody that's swimming in this cesspool is that it's not safe for men to be vulnerable with women.
Yeah.
And you can't show your femininity, you can't show your tears, you can't show your hurt in women, because we exist in a whole different world at times than men. When men do show their vulnerability, we're like, boy, suck that up. And I ain't trying to hold space for that, because I'm carrying A, B, and C. And then our masculine energy comes out when their feminine energy comes out.
Like,
and
you're supposed to hold me?
Yeah, and it's dismissive and it's devaluing, and it makes them feel safe in other places. So then you build a relationship with another male, and then the natural response biologically is when you feel emotionally safe, then the sexual
energy
desire and energy turns on. And the person may not have ever felt attracted to another man, but it is the emotional connection.
Space.
And I think we don't talk about how emotional safety is the bedrock of intimacy.
And it's almost like the most appropriate 100% place to be in a relationship.
Yes. And most
that's facts.
That's facts. And most of us don't have that safety in relationships, whether we're in queer relationships or non-conforming or pan relationships or heteronormative relationships. Most of us don't have that safety. So we're constantly seeking, searching. And then we're constantly pointing at the other person saying, why aren't you giving me this?
Yes, because we connect it in the physical attraction versus that emotional attraction.
That's how
attraction.
It usually starts.
Yes, because even with like man that
strong
I am
strong orgasms.
Okay. No, for listen, we gonna keep it 92.7 FM. But the emotional, like, now that I'm older, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've realized, like, I seeked out straight friends in this past 5 years, because I said that I am a man, and there are things, even though I'm a queer man, that I'm like, you should still have the ability to have these type of relationships.
Yes,
and as I'm befriending these heterosexual men, I'm still that feminine energy that when they're going through something, because they're always going through something, you think it's mess in the girl world, in the feminine world, they are messy.
I already
the men
know.
Are messy.
No way.
And again, you guys, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl Brandi Grayson,
April Kigaya,
and your favorite cousin Clyde. And so when I'm noticing,
I think men are really messy.
Be emotional, right?
Well, let me give you an example of some mess I seen recorded that I wasn't supposed to see.
Oh, please.
So, you know, people better be careful with their little cameras and access, because you know everything on your phone. When you got cameras in your house and you have the app on your phone, and someone gets into your app, like me. And then you see stuff, right?
What app are you getting?
Don't
into?
Worry about it. So that is none of your business.
Oh Lord! Oh Lord!
I love it. Keep going. Keep going.
So one of the things I observed in a moment was a conversation with a woman about another man. And they were talking about this particular man liking certain sexual things and how they heard this and heard that. And I'm thinking, like, what kind of man has a conversation with a woman about another man and what another man wants done to his body?
Okay.
You know, and I thought that was messy. And I've overheard conversations with men talking about other men, women, and they're more chattery and gossipy than, like... I mean, it's bad.
No way.
And they almost put like safeguards on it to be like, let's not be like women in this conversation.
But they just like women.
But they're just like women, right?
And not that women has a certain characteristics, because I think that's what social constructs and our problems is. Mm-hmm. It's like we like, that's a woman thing, that's a man thing. But I just want to say that I think it's just a human thing.
Yeah.
Just like the need for emotional safety
support.
And support, which then turns into a sexual chemistry almost. That's
and
what
that's,
I think.
I feel like I need to dial down, because when they're in these emotional, stressful situations, because it seems like sometimes men don't know how to handle women, right?
Especially right. And then they get the best of both worlds with you.
Yeah. And so when they're you talking know? To me, like, no,
they get
seriously.
The feminine energy, the comfort, and the nurturing. Yes. And he knows how to turn on the masculine energy and be like, bro, yeah. you need to do this. This is what that's yeah. about.
Right. I mean, and I know how to be like, you want to pay for it?
Y'all don't see him right now.
I wish y'all could see him on the right. He's like.
No, but seriously, now it's making me really think, because yeah. it does get to a place where like they're stressed out and I'm like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, I'm good. And I'd be like, are you okay?
But they say people like, don't ask them, though, oh my God. If they're okay.
Like, you care they about yep, how I feel.
They say their partners don't yeah. ask them enough. They don't. And honestly, women, generally speaking, we are kind of taught not to care about how men feel. Because
yeah,
in a
part.
Patriarchal world where men have dominated and hurt and abused and we've been violated throughout our day, right?
That
we've
they
been
need to suck it up doing, and figure it out.
And it's just
out.
Like, I'm not holding space. And to me, it reminds me of white people who are attempting to educate themselves on white supremacy and privilege, mm-hmm. and you know, they have the intention, desire to learn, they want to be better, they want understanding, and people like myself be like, I'm not holding space for your tears,
yeah.
right? Because there is also that dynamic of the oppressor. Like,
yeah.
think about it. Like, if you're harming me in big ways, and you come home and you've done some terrible things to me, and a lot of our dynamic, our relationships aren't healthy. So you
yeah.
come home and you want to be vulnerable, and then your expectation is for me to hold space for your vulnerability. Mm, I'm
right.
not equipped to do that, because you're also the oppressor. You're also the person
right.
who
you left this
me.
House cussing me out and threw
That's
hot
right.
coffee at me.
Right.
And then you get off Damn. Work at 5 o'clock.
Dang, not the hard day. Look,
yeah, flashback.
No, that's real.
Flashback. But I think we have to talk about that, and that's
no,
why
that's
yeah. why we need therapy.
Y'all yeah. just right, damn.
Yo, Clyde, are you okay? Are you okay?
I'm fine. I ain't got a man.
Really? He's like, I ain't got a man right now. I'm good. I'm good, actually. Thank
I was
you.
Like, wait a minute.
I'm doing very well right now.
In other words, April's like, I'm also queer. I don't
yes.
have that problem.
I do not.
So the only person.
No, but you, like, we done sent the kids out. We done went and had a date. And now you back, but you forgot what you did to me this
yeah.
morning.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
So we,
yeah.
so
feed
we,
yourself.
So we have to think about how, as humans,
baby.
We work yeah. in the trauma, especially with people known as black, because we're compounding trauma all the time, vomited on each other.
Yeah.
And we really have to be self-aware and deliberate and intentional about learning ourselves and mastering ourselves.
And
so,
I,
yeah.
I think fixing things right away is important.
Yeah,
like,
discussing them, getting a clearing.
Yeah.
Because men also have a hard time communicating.
Yeah.
As soon as you're like, I need to clear this. No, I'm
no,
not going to cross that.
I ain't got time.
Mm-hmm. So that's really important, and communication is important. So again, you guys, you're listening to 92.7 FM, The Black Conversion Show, with your girl, Brandi Grayson.
April Kikea.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
And when we return, you guys, we're going to talk about local politics, as we okay. often do.
Okay.
And we're going to get a little tea about this Dane County Exec Forum that was held at MATC yesterday and recorded on Facebook by Channel 3 News. So shout out to Channel 3 News for giving us a soundbite.
Nice.
So they didn't know what they was doing.
Stay tuned. And we'll be back in a gist. Is that the alarm for me to start on 92.7 FM? You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson and
April Kikea.
And your favorite cousin Clyde.
Hey, I want to get up and start popping it. Okay, but we need to go straight into this clip. So Luke, our beautiful producer, if you can start this clip, I think it's like 23 minutes and 34 seconds or something like that. We want to let you, our listeners, hear Dana Pelabon on the Dane County Exec Forum. She's running for Dane County Executive against Melissa Agar. And this is her response to why she qualifies for the role.
So the unique qualities and skills that I have is that I am an actual executive. And I have been running departments, I have been running programs, I have been doing strategic priorities, I have been budgeting, I have been implementing budgets. I have been working at that 1,000-foot level in our community for a really long time. So when I talk about the fact that we have a housing navigation system that's broken, A, I already know that it's broken. B, I know where the gaps are. see, I know then what is needed to fill those gaps, because me and the people in the community have been talking about this for a really long time. But we've not been able to move things forward because we've not had someone at the county government level who is used to working at that 1,000-foot level.
Go ahead.
We have pause elected, right there for me.
Shout out to Dana Pelabon. If, you know, on a, I'm biased, so go vote for her.
Vote Please for Dana. Vote for her.
And I say this not just because she's black or because she's my friend, and both of those things are true, but because the county exec job is really to manage budgets, people, and the needs of our community from executive kind of level. And Melissa Agard is a legislator. She's been politricking her whole life, and I get politics are really important. And also, I think she's a great legislator. I think she has done some amazing work in the state assembly. I mean, I think she should stay there, and I think she should continue the work there. And I think that we should appoint someone who has just the knowledge and expertise of the community that she serves. And housing is a huge issue. And as Dana pointed out, she sits on boards where folks are dealing with the housing directly. She is the one to respond in crisis, rape crisis, domestic violence situations. She's actually in the community. Melissa Agard, she's in legislation doing what she should do, which is pushing legislation through that we need pushed through, including cannabis. I think that's another thing we can have her focus on. Mm-hmm.
She can't do that as a Dane County executive.
No, she cannot. Any takes on what you heard?
Dana did a good job.
Yeah.
I mean, and here's the thing. Like, a Dane County executive, the one thing that Melissa cannot do is from the bottom up create relationships with people that she does not have relationships
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
Dana already has relationships with the community. Dana yeah. is in the community. Dana is the community.
And we're talking about rural community. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Urban
Dana has
community.
Relationships yeah. with queer, white, black, able-bodied, all of
county
the
level,
people,
city
right.
level,
like
state
she
level.
Already has yeah. relationships with everybody. Melissa does not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Melissa would have to pose and then go mm-hmm. into communities and
but
create
she's not
fake relationships.
Do that.
She's not
yeah.
going to do
she's
that.
Not gonna do that. That's
she's not going to do
not
that.
And
who
it's
she
not
going to
be authentic.
No,
that's
not
who
not
she
at
is.
All.
Yeah.
So, in other words, vote for Dana Pelabon for Dane County Exempt, and this is not a paid
And what day should everybody get out and vote?
When is it? April?
November 5th. The same day okay. as the presidential election.
Right.
And go to danafordane.com
yep.
to
donate.
Donate,
get a button,
support,
get a
button, get a yard sign.
Follow her.
Register to vote. Yeah, follow her. Host a fundraiser.
And in my black voice on my black show called The Black Conversion Show, centering blackness and everything that we do, and my work and my voice and everything, including urban triage, I'm going to encourage everyone to vote black
okay.
November. Okay, vote for Kamala, vote for Dana, and vote for every other black yeah. person on that list. Now, some people might say you shouldn't do that, but I'm going to encourage that you do because everyone else does it. I think people known as black have a hard time voting
Doing
for black
that.
People because
mm-hmm.
we are the We are...
We be confused sometimes.
No, we embody the Stockholm Syndrome. And we really mm-hmm. want to be accepted by white people, white race, white institutions. And when you step out on the ledge, like Brandi Grayson, and you say black this, black that, people really do Don't, dislike
yeah,
you. And they
yeah.
really do mm-hmm. come for your life, like the guy did yesterday at Dane
so
County
what
Forum.
What did happen yesterday, Brandi?
So, just a little tea for you here. I'm not even going to give you his name. And again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. I'm not going to give you his name. Look how I changed my voice. I'm not going to give you his name.
All right.
That was my radio voice. So, but it's this white dude that has been harassing urban triage every way. He has done open records requests on us, open records requests on Dane County, open records requests on the city. He's went to the chief of police. He's went to the sheriff. He's went to the chief police of Sun Prairie. He is going to the city council. He is going to Dane County supervisors. And what he's attempting to do is gather support around this notion that urban triage is incompetent and that we are not able, we don't manage stuff fiscally well, we're just not a competent, we're against white people, we're against queer people, we're anti, you know, trans, we're anti-LGBTQI, we're anti everyone according to this white man. But the problem is that people actually believe him without any investigation or any further inquiries. They just believe him because he's white and they listen to him and they hold space for him. And like, I've had even people on the supervisor, Dane County supervisors, call me and be like, so what's up with this, and questioning me, and I've had to snap on them. I actually cussed out Nazra, who's on the city council, and this for transparency a week or two, because she called me questioning me about this article, and not from a place of love or support, but and like I told her, you sounding like a Becky right now, right? You're sounding like a Becky. So he showed up at the forum yesterday asking the candidates, what y'all going to do about urban triage and their mismanagement of Dane County funds? And it was, and Melissa Agar's response was, well, there needs to be accountability. And for me, that tells me that you don't understand how contracts work. And yeah, you don't understand really the management of nonprofits, because all nonprofits spend their money sooner than you plan on, especially when the needs are high. And the conversation really should have been focused on, what are you going to do about the high needs and the lack of funding and resources allocated to people who are in need of rental support, housing stability, and security deposits. But that wasn't the question. But big ups to Dana, because she handled it like a pro. But we don't have more time, so I would give you more. But any last remarks from you guys?
We all just need to pay attention, attend the forums, read, do your homework, because the county executive is a very, very big position. These people take care of our roads. These people take care of our air, our hospitals, our community.
Jails.
Everything.
Schools.
And so, and they have Child like a hundred, is it like a $600 million budget this person looks over? And we need to take that serious.
Yeah.
And that term is 4 years?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what you got to say, April?
Yeah, and we need somebody who has the actual budgetary experience of managing people. Yeah. Melissa does not have experience managing people at all. The only experience she has in terms of budget was being on the Dane County Board. And as someone who's on the Dane County Board, the only thing that, not the only thing, but the thing that we do with budgets is we oversee the budget. We don't have the hands-on experience of managing it, so she lacks that.
All right. One day they're going to give us more time, like Breakfast Club. But you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. We are out with Brandi Grayson and
April Kigea.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde. Peace.
Peace, love, and hair grease.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.